You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Good morning to you. Today, we're looking at the Passover Supper and the Lord's Supper. The Passover Supper and the Lord's Supper. Today, on Words of Encouragement.
Amen. Everyone has to have that moment where they acknowledge or that they have that experience and know that it is true that Jesus is God's Son. Every one of us has to have that moment of reality, of acknowledgement and confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Thinking back to one of the songs we sang earlier this morning, Full Atonement, Can It Be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Full Atonement, can it be? It can be. It can be. Jesus certainly paid the debt of sin that we owe. This morning I want us to look closely at three items that the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper have in common. There's some things that I think you will enjoy seeing. Just the way I tell you, the people that believe that there were some people in a little room and they decided to just kind of come up with the Bible all by themselves and they just kind of wanted to make it all work together. I can't go there. I can't believe like that. I know that God's hand is in God's word, and it was in the shaping of his word. And you had people who were writing years before other people, and to see the way that the writings mesh together, no other explanation in my mind and heart than God himself. God did this. But I want us to look at some similarities here. We're looking in Exodus chapter 12. There was a time for testing blemishes. Now, what in the world are we talking about? Well, we're talking about a spotless lamb. They needed a spotless lamb in order to have a sacrifice. And so there were shepherds who raised sheep out in pastures, and the spotless lamb, the one without any kind of blemish, white, pure and clean, they would bring that one, and that's the one that came and was the sacrifice. And so listen to verse 3 of chapter 12. The Bible says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household." Okay. So what it sounds like, it sounds exactly like a lamb is going to be required to be brought by every household. So on the 10th, they were to find a spotless lamb. And in verse 6, we find that they were to keep it until the 14th day of the month. So they were to keep that lamb until the 14th day of the month because why? They were going to check it. They were going to take time to check it for blemishes. Now, you're probably thinking, my goodness, can't they just do that in a day? No, this was so important that this lamb be spotless that they had to take their time looking over that entire lamb, making sure that it was acceptable for the sacrifice. They had to check it, and they had to allow the lamb also to cleanse itself. Food was withheld from the lamb so that it would be cleared of any substance. And this would allow the lamb to be ready to be roasted whole, if you will. Now think about the Lord's Supper. Think about what it means. It's a remembering of what Jesus did on that cross. From the time Christ began his ministry until his death, 3.5 years had passed from the beginning of his ministry till his death. And during this testing time, his enemies tried their best to attempt to discover any blemish in his life. They wanted to see, well, yeah, he's a fake. He's a fake. They just wanted to prove it. And they watched for the 3 years of his ministry, trying to find something they could pin on him, something they could point to, something they could say, yeah, he's not for real. He's not the real deal. He's not really the Messiah. And so they're watching, they're testing, they're looking, they're asking questions, they're watching his every move. But they could not find a blemish. During this time, we know that Christ subjected himself to the devil himself for testing or purifying. Again, he passed the test. When Jesus died on the cross, he did so without any spot or blemish. He was the perfect lamb for our sacrifice. He truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I just find that so amazing that God had all of this. He was teaching his people they needed a perfect sacrifice. Way back in the Old Testament, he's teaching them that blood must be shed in order to pay for the people's sins. And so he's teaching them this in early on. They're learning about this until the day where there is a perfect Lamb of God. Jesus is our perfect once and for all Passover lamb. There are no others after Christ. He is it. He did it. He did it once and he did it for all. He did it for us. God sent him, and that was his mission, to come to this earth, to point to God, to die in our place on that cross, so that our sins can be forgiven if we believe in him. If we believe in him, if we trust in him. There's something very important about that. Lest we become universalist. If we say Jesus died for all of mankind and we just, hey, there's nothing you got to do. You just live your life however you want. I mean, you're saved. That's no. There must be a trusting in Christ for salvation. It has to take place. You must believe and trust in Christ. That when he died on that cross, he did die for you. And that he paid the penalty for your sins. And that he took the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins. On that cross, Jesus took that. He took the blows for us. Well, let's look at the time of sacrifice. Look at verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. At twilight. And I have a little side note here in my Bible that says between the two evenings. Between the two evenings. And scholars feel that's about 3 o'clock is when that happens. So this allowed the family to prepare the lamb before the darkness set in. Okay, so they're good. Before the darkness sets in, around 3 o'clock, this is going to occur. This ceremony helped to remember the 10th plague that was the death of all the firstborn, human and animals, in Egypt. God punished Egypt but spared the firstborn of Israel as long as the Israelites properly followed Moses' instructions. And on the night of the plague, the Israelites were instructed to stay in their homes after slaughtering a lamb and placing what on the lintel and doorpost of their homes? What did they place on the lintel and doorpost? The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood was to be the sign that distinguished the Israelites and separated them from the intended victims of the plague. The blood. The blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary is a sign that distinguishes all believers and separates us from the intended victims of death. I love how it all comes together. We as believers all live under his blood. I think there's a Southern gospel song, "He Only Sees the Blood." And it's all about when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Christ that was shed. And he that's what he sees. He sees and knows that we have been forgiven because we've trusted in him. And when he looks at us, he only sees the blood. His blood washes away our sin and the punishment that we should receive for it. Because you and I deserve to be punished for our sin. We deserve to die for our sins. That is how stinking horrible sin is in the nostrils of God. That's how bad it is that you and I, when we sin, we deserve to go to hell. We deserve to die. And that's it. That's what we deserve. And I love it when people do run around saying, well, if I deserve this. I deserve that. Oh, really? You know what you deserve? Look, I don't run around telling people this, that you deserve to go to hell. That's what you deserve because of your sin. That's what you really deserve. None of us deserve anything. But because of what Christ did, what he did on the cross for us, he has made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. Forgiven. What time do the scholars figure that Jesus died? Guess what? They figure it's about 3 o'clock. In Mark's gospel, he wrote down the 9th hour. This is no accident. This was in God's plan for it all to take place the way that it did. In reality, as the priest was slaying the first Passover lamb, Christ, our Passover, was dying on the cross. Christ was literally fulfilling the need we all had at the very hour it was being acted out in ritual form. Wow. God knows what he's doing. God is making it very clear, trying to make it very clear to the people and to us that Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. God's timing is always best. Even when we do not realize it, even when we do not feel that it is best, it's best. And his timing must be trusted. Jesus became our Passover lamb at the perfect time. The perfect time. Passover participation was limited, though. Look at verse 48 of Exodus chapter 12. Verse 48 says, but if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised and let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat of it. Why did they do this? Because the entire meaning of the Passover meal would not make sense to one who had not been redeemed by God. The whole Passover meal would not make sense to someone who was not following the Lord, who was not one of the people of God. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to anyone here this morning, what we're doing in remembering Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Oh, you're just drinking some juice and eating some bread. Boy, I don't remember people I love who have passed away by doing that. We don't go out to eat to remember people. I mean, that's not how we do. Yeah, if you're not one of the redeemed, if you are not one of God's children, it doesn't make sense. And we don't expect it to make sense to those who do not, who are not part of the family of God. For someone who did not care about a relationship with God, to partake of the Passover meal would be like you and I going to a special Jewish festival. We're not Jewish, so we wouldn't really understand what's going on. We really wouldn't the weight of the meaning of the moment would not weigh on us. We would not understand it. We would just kind of be an outsider trying to be like someone who was an insider. A lot of what is said and done just wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't hold the same meaning for us as it does for them. Now consider the Lord's Supper. If someone were to come in this morning who did not have a relationship with God and was expecting to get something out of partaking of the supper, I'll just partake and I'll get something. Maybe I'll get forgiveness. No, you're not. Well, maybe I'll get a good feeling. I don't know, maybe. Maybe I'll get something meaningful. Not if you're not a believer. If you're not a believer, it's not going to mean anything to you. I'm afraid you'll be disappointed. All this talk of remembering Jesus and his death on the cross would just not have a meaning to an unbeliever, because they don't know, they don't understand, they've not heard the word, they've not accepted him as Savior and Lord and Redeemer of their lives. Until one has experienced the forgiveness of God through an encounter with God, he or she is not going to have an understanding or even a need of partaking of the Lord's Supper. They will not have a need of remembering what God did for them if they don't remember that he did it, if they don't believe it, that it actually occurred, that he actually made it possible for you to have your sins forgiven. And if you've not trusted in that, trusted in him and what he did on the cross, then this has no meaning for you this morning. On the other hand, if you have trusted and believed, you look at this supper this morning and you remember the love of God displayed on a cross on a hill called Mount Calvary. And you remember that what he did for you. And you remember that when you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, there was a joy inside of your heart. And you were full of amazement and excitement and joy. And there was a joy of salvation in your heart. And you wanted people to know. People need to know. And you were excited about this because a change was taking place inside of you and continues to happen, continues to occur day by day as you walk with Christ. You are continually being molded into his likeness. Every day you walk with him. Every moment of obedience is saying to him, you love him, you're following him, you're trusting him. And every movement of obedience, every moment of obedience that you have with him, there is a cleansing taking place. You're moving further away from the person you were to becoming the person God wants you to be. You're becoming more like Christ, less like yourself, less like the rest of this world that we live in. Praise God. Praise God, we're becoming less like the world that we're living in. That's what's happening when we walk with Christ. The changing is occurring. The molding into the likeness and the image of Christ is happening. And you and I are becoming more like Jesus and less like the rest of this world. It's important, so important, that we allow God to do his work in us. It's so important that we do that, that we allow him to move inside of us, to do what he needs to do, because this world is looking. This world is looking for someone who's living like Jesus. Jesus is our perfect Lamb. Perfect once and for all Passover Lamb. Jesus became our Passover Lamb at the perfect time. The question is Jesus your Passover Lamb? Have you accepted him into your heart? Have you allowed him to come inside of you and to forgive you of your sins and to be in charge of your life? Have you allowed him to do that? He wants to. He longs to. He reaches out to you. He calls unto you. And he says, come, come unto me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you have done through Christ. Father, we do not deserve any of it, but boy, are we grateful. We do not deserve to be forgiven because we have sinned against you, but you long to forgive us.
You wait. You wait for us. You call to us. Your word tells us your Holy Spirit works in our heart, speaks to our spirit, pulls us, draws us to you. And Father, then there's a moment where we have to do something. We have to decide, are we going to follow you? Or are we going to still try to make it on our own in this world? Maybe today there's someone who longs to give their heart to Christ. Maybe today the moment has arrived and you know that you want and need to give your heart to Christ. Maybe today is that day. In a few moments we'll be singing a song of response. Have a moment of response, a song of invitation. This is the moment we're asking you to come and say, yes, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. I want him to be in charge of my life. Maybe today is that day for you. Would you come in just a few moments as we sing? Father, we thank you for making it possible to have our sins forgiven. We thank you for loving us that much. Oh God, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast, Words of Encouragement. We thank you for listening to this podcast today. We hope that you maybe have learned something new today as we've looked at the Lord's Supper and the Passover Supper. We do hope that you understand the gospel. If you have questions about what the gospel is, please contact us. You can go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And you can communicate with us through that website. Please, we encourage you to write your questions and just we will attempt to answer those questions. We don't know everything, but we may have some answers for you that you're looking for. So contact us. Again, that's fbcwinsboro.com. Thank you again, and we hope to catch you next week. Same place. Same podcast, Words of Encouragement, brought to you by the First Baptist Church of Winsboro, Louisiana. Thank you for listening.